us in February. Not the most, wanted of destinations in February. However, the scene couldn't be more beautiful for a football fan. As you can see, the football happenings around Lucas Oil Stadium have been fast and frenetic and pretty, pretty nice so far this week. Welcome back to Broncos TV Live from the NFL Combine. I'm Matt Boyer, joined by Phil Milani. We'll be joined later by Andrew Mason, as well as Troy Rank from the Denver Post. But, Phil, let's talk about the defensive side of the football real quick. It's obviously the talk of the postseason, but as far as the offseason is concerned, I think that it's going to be dictated by much of the Malik Jackson free agent talks, Von Miller free agent talks, and maybe the Broncos keep with the theme here and go defensive side of the football first round. What do you see from the offseason on the defensive side?
Well, I think that when you head to the combine as the Super Bowl champion, everybody wants a little bit of piece of that glory,
right.
A piece of the success that the Broncos have had. So that naturally makes it so that the defensive side of the ball is active in free agency, especially with the Broncos. When you talk about Von Miller, I think he's got to be your first priority there because, hey, you saw what he did in the playoffs. And Coach Kubiak talked about it too. Hey, you got to have two guys there. So obviously the pass rush is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Von Miller, crucial to that. I think if they can't get a deal done with him, I mean, I'm just speculating here, but I would think that they would try and do a franchise tag sort of thing. And then you look at a guy like Malik Jackson, who in a contract year probably had the best season of his career. He was so disruptive all year long. He made play after play. We saw in that Cleveland Brown game in overtime, he kind of kept the Browns out of field goal position in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him get the touchdown there in the Super Bowl. So Malik Jackson, and then, of course, you look to the linebackers, Danny Trevathan and Brandon Marshall, the leading tacklers for this football team the last three seasons. Those two guys in the middle there, I mean, they really dictate the way the defense is played from the center. They call the plays in the huddle. So very instrumental into the Broncos' success. And when you have the kind of defense that the Broncos had, I mean, the goal, I think, is to just keep it intact.
Well, speaking of the defense and speaking of, you know, keeping things intact, since we've been here, we've obviously come into contact with a lot of teams, a lot of congratulatory messages from the other squads here at the NFL Combine. But do you feel like there's been a shift as far as ways to win? I feel like the Broncos, just kind of being around some of these other teams, the Broncos have shown the league that you don't need the high-powered offense. You can win a bunch of different ways, and they did that, it seems like, in almost every game. Every big moment this season was won in a different way.
Well, and I think that the way the NFL just works these days is you see one team have success against a team, kind of develop a blueprint for how to beat that team. So if you're a team who plays in the AFC East,
right,
you see the Broncos' defensive game plan against Tom Brady, why not try to mimic that? Of course, it's harder to get a guy like Von Miller, but maybe you look at a pass rusher and say, hey, if we can get a good pass rush on Tom Brady, we'll have more success.
Mm-hmm.
So it could determine that's the way that a team like the Jets or the Dolphins, maybe they look at a pass rusher, even though they already have two pretty good defenses right there, maybe you add another just because you saw the way the Broncos were able to have success. And I think that's just the way that the league works. But yeah, the Broncos have had different ways to win, and that's part of the key to success. You heard Kubiak say when he was on with us, you look at a pass rusher every single draft now, even though they're loaded at that position.
How do you feel like the front office has played these last couple of drafts? I want to specifically talk about the fact that this draft, we've got picks, compensatory picks the Broncos do from the signings of Orlando Franklin, Julius Thomas. These guys, even though they left because of the offers that they were tendered, the Broncos are now going to have high
compensatory picks.
How valuable do you think those picks are going to be in a draft like this where, you know, you might find somebody deep in the draft? Like, think about Danny Trevathan. Danny Trevathan, a sixth-round pick, but a frontline starter now. How important are those compensatory picks, do you think, going to be this year?
Well, I think that a lot of fans out there think that they know how the draft is.
Right.
And they think that they know the players. But what about round five?
Right.
Do you know who's going in round five? No.
Right.
That's what the job of the scouting department is, and they've done a tremendous job. You talk about a guy like Malik Jackson, who's about to get a major payday here. He's a fourth-round pick. you have to be able to find guys like that who can eventually develop into the talent that Malik Jackson is like to be able to have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. And you look at the talent that the Broncos have, a lot of those guys, Chris Harris Jr., an undrafted player, like Shaq Barrett, these are kind of players that you don't know a lot about heading into the combine, heading into the draft. But if you can find talent like that, when they come in and they develop and they play like that, we've seen the results.
I think that, like you said, you know, the front office has done a great job so far. I think those compensatory picks are going to play a major role. But as far as the next couple of days, what are you looking for from guys that, that makes you think things are going to kind of stand out? And it looks like we've got Andrew Mason and
possibly Troy Reigns.
There we go. Come on in, guys. Come on in.
Thanks, Troy. Here, I'll give you this microphone.
Live,
here.
Live television. Mace, welcome back. Troy, welcome, because this is your first time on.
Yeah, good
for,
to be here.
For today, just real quick, we obviously weren't in the media scrum for Coach Kubiak, but was there anything that stood out to you between the presser and then the scrum just now?
Well, he's proud of. He just finished our session with us, saying he was proud of the way his guys have handled the winning the championship. Because the question was asked, "Hey, they've been at pretty much everywhere, every program," and he said, "You know what? They should enjoy this. You should appreciate the accomplishment." He made a couple of interesting points that they could have pushed the schedule back and not started on April 18th, but he said, "We're going to stick true to the league schedule. That's what worked for him in the past. Be true to who we are. That's kind of you guys. You guys know that's who Kubiak is." A couple of quick points. It's very clear that he believes Ty Sambrallo and Jeff Heuermann will be back in April, full go, ready to go. He thought Heuermann, he said, could probably get on a football field today. So, again, as you're looking for kind of connections to this combine, think back to Sambrallo and Heuermann last year, who were Heuermann didn't play, and Sambrallo was limited to, what, 2.5 games, 3 games. They're very excited about the draft from last year as we talk about this year's draft.
And the other thing, I think he talked about Shane Ray, like he said, actually kind of, you know, maybe having a little bit of a rough adjustment at times and, you know, being behind Shaq Barrett and how Rayson will respond to that challenge. And certainly he's going to factor in going forward as well.
Yeah, I think it was good for Ray to have Von Miller. And you look at Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware to be there. Shane Ray, I would guess this, he's been the star of every team he's ever been on. And he just show up and he's the best player. That wasn't the case in the Broncos locker room. And I would agree with Kubiak's assessment that Ray realized after the knee injury, like, this is a job. This is a profession. You can't just show up and be the man anymore. And I think you saw that at the end of the year. He made plays, and Mace, I know the way you watch film, you would see backside containment. He was less vulnerable to plays that when he looked young early in the year. So I saw some things from Ray from a football standpoint that showed real maturity.
Yeah, remember Kansas City week 2?
Yeah.
The big run that Jamal Charles
right,
had.
That's right.
And I would bring that up to him from time to time as well. And he often pointed that play as, like, he kind of heard about in the film room, was out of position. That never happened again for Shane Ray the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's a good sign for a young player when they're learning on the job.
Troy, before they get to the draft, of course, there's free agency that they have to deal with, a couple of major players that the Broncos need to look at. How do you see them approaching the next couple of weeks here?
Well, it's going to be interesting because it is a time crunch. That March 7th that opens and then March 9th is just the floodgates where official signings. But they've made Malik Jackson a priority. They've negotiated with his agent. They want Malik back, and he falls in that category. If you look at comparables like a Cam Hayward, you know, can he get to – they? Obviously, he's probably an $11 million player minimum just based on inflation at his position. Once it gets past that number – where's the line? And John Elway has shown amazing discipline to identify a number and then say, okay, we're prepared to walk away. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that makes him a great GM. But Malik Jackson's a priority. Obviously, Brock Osweiler's a priority. Gary Kubiak did say that they're not rushing Manning. Nothing has changed. Again, it sets up for Manning to make his decision the first week of March because he has to take a physical on March 4th, and then his contract would guarantee on the 9th. Obviously, they're not going to guarantee his contract at $19 million when they're trying to sign Brock. But Danny Trevathan is another guy they want back. But fans, you guys get this all the time. They can't keep everyone. That's a good problem to have when you're a great team. So there's going to be some tough choices. But just like last year, they lost Knight and they lost Raheem Moore. You know, go down the list of guys. Well, they have to have him back. They find a way. That's why, and Mace knows this, you guys, the draft is so critical even for a good team.
Right.
You have to have that young player on the way up so you can balance payroll and not just be so top-heavy with stars. Because, you know, free agents, you can't win in this league through free agency. Nobody does.
Mm-hmm.
So, to that point, John Elway's discipline, the front office is disciplined. We saw later in these rounds of this draft, compensatory picks are going to play a major factor because of Orlando Franklin, Julius Thomas, the picks they received from those deals. How important do you see those picks being in a draft where the Broncos are picking so far down in first and second round?
Well, more bodies, the better. And what when you look at a staff, the way Kubiak is a symbol of staff that loves to teach, it's their passion. And with Elway and Kubiak, I've sensed from Jump Street they're in concert about this. So giving a guy more clay that likes to make pottery like Kubiak is a good thing. Some teams get extra draft picks and you just wonder why, because they're out within a, I mean, you see in a couple of weeks at training camp, you're like, no chance. They take time to develop these guys, and with the Broncos, it's two-layered, I see. It's not just for that 53-man, but they really see the practice squad as a tool when you look at Benny Fowler and Matt Paradis and guys that they see as kind of a graduate system, like that one more year of finishing school. So I think the way they do it is unique, and to have your GM and coach in concert with that, the extra picks make total sense to me.
And even though he wasn't on the practice squad, Trevor Siemian, it's kind of analogous to a practice squad guy.
Correct.
The way he developed. He talked with us about him. He talked over in the group over there about him. Clearly, they see something in him that they can develop. And if, by chance, Brock Osweiler, if they can't get him re-signed and if Peyton Manning retires, that he's going to be in the mix for pushing for some time potentially.
Yeah, they said, Kubiak just told us, you know, Siemian has an NFL arm. I've, you know, written that he could throw a spiral through a tornado. I have. I mean, he has got an absolute ruck. I mean, my background's covering baseball for 15 years. I mean, he's a guy you would say, you know, throws cheese. I mean, he throws fuzz. That ball comes out in a way, and he's not a big guy. I mean, you watch the ball come out because he's the first one out every game throwing. I mean, I watch him throw, and it's like watching a bullpen session with a guy throwing 95. He brings the noise.
You mentioned your baseball background here. You like coming to the combine and seeing the guys out there running, and you think that's important to be able to see what they can do in a, you know, unitard?
Well, the thing about the combine that's fascinating to me is that you can't discount film. Like, your catalog of work and how you play the game. But it does allow you to put guys in the same drills and compare them right there. This guy's ability to open up and his closing speed. This guy's burst, where you're trying to do that in film study, you know, against different levels of competition. That's why I think the combine is great, is it's that checklist of the way you can truly compare athletes. But the thing is always dangerous is you can't discount the game film. You still have to be able to play the game.
Exactly.
I mean, as in baseball, it was analogous to, they call him a 5 o'clock hitter. You can hit in BP, but as soon as you get in the game, you can't, you know, it's a different animal. And when a guy does it in a game over and over, that still, for me, weighs, especially these big, and Kubiak and Elway, especially in the last couple of years, seem to tilting toward these big conference players. So if you played the SEC, the Big Ten, I mean, playing in front of 75,000 is nothing new. I mean, in fact, that's a small crowd for some of them. But I like the fact you can put them, to answer your question, put them in drills together. And the other thing is to see if a guy is tentative and he looks to match himself up with certain receivers and certain backs. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to throw against that defensive back. That would tell you something about a quarterback or a corner. Like, oh, it's interesting. He's always kind of sliding over and trying to find the one guy he can cover well. That would concern me. I want the guy that's like, hey, who's the best guy out here? I want to match up against him. And those things you could learn or at least get insight into.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to see how it plays out over the next 4 days. Troy, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time so much.
It's been a pleasure, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Troy. We'll pass this along
all
here.
Right.
That's Troy Rank from the Denver Post there. So thank you to him for joining us. But obviously bringing that baseball background to the NFL, he has a lot of neat analogies there, especially with the quarterback.
Well, this time of year and other years, he would have been getting down in spring training,
yeah,
with pictures and catchers reporting for the Rockies late last week. So, but you know, there are some parallels. And like you said with Trevor Siemian, I mean, you can see he's got a gun. It's just, even Kubiak mentioned this to us, you know, it's just what about the rest of his game? He's got to learn how to be a quarterback, be a leader. But certainly, if Brock Osweiler does go elsewhere, you can't discount him as part of the quarterback equation. They certainly like him. And Kubiak actually pointed to him when he talked with the media over there, pointed to him just to him as a guy they kind of found. They weren't looking for a quarterback last year, but you know, they got some wind. They got wind of him. Greg Knapp, of course, worked him out at Northwestern, really got to know him, and they made him a high priority, and we'll see where he goes going forward. He's that he's that kind of classic guy who maybe needs some time to develop, but could be something.
One thing I will say, our thanks to Troy, by the way. I don't know if I would have traded Scottsdale, Arizona for Indianapolis in February. He's a brave man. But we thank Troy for taking some time. One final thing I want to just bring up is I think we're going to learn a lot about the offensive line today because those are the guys that are going to be at the podiums taking individual questions, as well as the running backs. Those are the two position groups today. But I look to see who might show that football IQ that Gary Kubiak was talking about. Who is kind of a football nerd, if you will, when it comes to blocking schemes, when it comes to repetitions. I think we're going to learn a lot about these guys in individual interviews today, and so I'm excited to see what they bring to the table.
Yeah, definitely. Offensive linemen and running backs coming through the media sessions here today. Of course, you can watch two live streams of Podium A and Podium C all day long on DenverBroncos.com. We'll be back here tomorrow live at 1:45 Mountain Time for John Elway. He will have his press conference. And then, of course, John Elway will join us live on the set tomorrow afternoon. So make sure to tune in for that. For Andrew Mason, for Matt Boyer, I'm Phil Milani. And enjoy the rest of the day here at the NFL Scouting Combine.